Like to say good evening. Welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Call. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, saying welcome to this nationwide gospel evangelistic effort hosted by the Highland Heights Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, where the host minister is Brother Tommy Brooks, where also Brother Horace Stroud and Austin Wiggins assist Brother Brooks as well as myself of hosting this weekly nationwide gospel call. Here, Brother Nathan Elder from Las Vegas, Nevada, from the Church of Christ at North Las Vegas, speaking on the very important subject, three things we should be thankful for. His text tonight is taken from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. At this time, it is my pleasure to welcome back Brother Nathan Elder. Brother Elder, the floor is yours.
Good evening. I want to introduce myself. My name is Nathan Elder. I'm the associate minister of the North Las Vegas Church of Christ in North Las Vegas, and yes, there is a difference. But anytime that you are away in Las Vegas, please stop by and definitely come and visit us. We would love to have you if you are having to find yourself in the area. I want to definitely thank Brother Tommy Brooks, Brother Anthony Flunder, Brother Horace Stroud, and Brother Austin Wiggins for this opportunity to be able to share a gospel message with those who may be listening this evening. And it is my hope and it is my prayer that that the information that we share here tonight, the word that we share here tonight, may reach someone who may have never heard this word before. And as we get started, again, we just want to thank God that we are in this place, and we want to thank God for his salvation, his mercy, and his grace that we are able to share in his holy and righteous word. This evening, I'm going to be sharing with you some things, three things that we ought to be thankful for when it comes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Starting in the third chapter of John, verses 16 through 17, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and the Bible reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And that is a powerful message that we want to convey tonight, because in this world that we are living in today, which is really no different than the world that has always existed, there is sin, and the sin that this world is experiencing at this time is a crisis. The crisis is always sin. The things that we have to deal with, the things that come up against us every day in our normal lives, everything that the world faces is a crisis. And right now, we have to realize that the only cure to that crisis is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible lets us know specifically that there is only salvation in one name, and that one name is Jesus Christ. The names of others that they may submit, that they may say, that they may try to tell us about, there's no salvation in that name. There is no saving in that name. There's no hope in any other name but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want you just to know that through this verse and throughout this evening as we speak, everything that we're going to come with you to you going to come from the scriptures. And if you have any questions, definitely get in contact with those that we have mentioned, and myself. You can find us also at the North Las Vegas Church of Christ website by the same name, www.northlasvegaschurchofchrist.com, if you want to ask me any question about anything that I share with you this evening. And I just want to start with this particular situation. I just want to let you know that the name of Jesus Christ that we're speaking about this evening is going to be given to you in a bunch of different ways, but all of it is going to come back to the point to let you know that Jesus is the hope of our hearts. He is the Savior of our bodies, and he is due and worthy of all of our praise. I just want to let you know that the one mentioned here is one that is special. Jesus is a special name. He is special power in regards to our soul salvation. He, again, is the hope of our hearts. His name can break sin's bondage and cool the fervent brow of sin. Name can lift His name can lift the greatest burdens from our backs, and his name can comfort our broken heart. His name is worthy of knowing because it speaks of a Savior worth loving, and his name is everything. That name unlocks the door to heaven and closes the gates of hell. His name saves the vilest sinner and redeems the blackest soul. It secures the most precious saint, and through his name, it saves us all. His name may be Jesus, but that name cannot tell us all that there is to know about him. And there are three things that we ought to be thankful for that we know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First of all, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, the Bible says that she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So in this verse, it is letting us know that the name Jesus was a fairly common name in that day, believe it or not. But through this particular birth, through this virgin birth, we understand the divinity of Jesus. So the first thing that we have to be thankful for is the divinity of Jesus. Jesus is God. And the name Emmanuel specifically means God with us. Through that, we find an incarnation of God that in the flesh, that he came down from heaven to live among us. And that name reveals his divinity. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible reads that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible is, again, specific about that. It lets us know that God has always been and always will be. And God has been with us in this particular moment in time. The Bible continues to read in verse number 2 that he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. The Bible also reads in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and the dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. He came down from heaven, and he came to live among us. So the verses let us know, first of all, that we have to be thankful for the divinity that is Jesus Christ. He is God. He was in the beginning with God. He has existed through time. He is a being that exists outside of time. And that is why he is both worthy of praise, and he's both worthy of our worship. The Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. So again, we're thankful that someone so divine, someone so perfect, someone that did not have to do the things that he did, came down from heaven to serve a purpose. And that purpose was to let us know that God in the flesh could take on the sins of the world, because nobody else could do it, and take those sins to the cross, that he may be put to death and die in our place, to die in our stead, so that we might have a chance at everlasting life. Secondly, we have to be thankful that he had a purpose. We have to be thankful that Jesus' purpose was that he came to do his Father's will, and the will of the Father is that you and I might be saved from our sins. The name Jesus reveals that God had a desire to save sinners. We are told that Jesus came into this world not to condemn the lost, but to save those that are lost. Again, John chapter 3 and verse 16 says that he so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That means he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to give his son over to death just so that we could be saved. We didn't deserve it. We did not deserve his greatest gift. But he gave it to us anyway because the Bible says, the scripture says that he loved us so. And whoever believes in him that should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, this is what God is saying. He's saying that you have an opportunity here at this moment in this time to realize that you do not have to continue in the mire and the muck of sin, that you have the opportunity to be saved through the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible also says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that that the world through him might be saved. So again, the Bible lets us know that only salvation is through that name of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 7 through 9, it was granted to him, the saints, and overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. The Bible says, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from an empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. Verse number 19. But the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, he was chosen before the creation of the world, and but was revealed in these last times for your sake. God's plan was conceived in an eternity and consummated in time. It was by his blood, it was through his precious, innocent blood that we have been given the doorway and opportunity to salvation, to be saved. It was not with things like gold and silver. That's why money shouldn't matter to those in the world. We have to be thankful that God had the foresight and the wherewithal to know that the only thing that could save us was the innocent blood of his son, and his son came down so that we, again, might have access to that salvation. And then what we also want to know specifically is that the name reveals, again, his purpose. What is his purpose? His purpose is to seek and save the lost. Who are the lost? Everyone that is within the sound of my voice who may find themselves in the practice of sin. If you are in that practice, then you are lost. And if you are lost, this is your way back. This is the moment where you have the chance and the choice to choose to turn your way and to turn your way and your life back to Christ. We all know that the things that go on in this world can be a difficult thing. The world can be a difficult place. Things placed in our way to obstruct us, to get us into bad situations, to make us make bad decisions, make life terrible and difficult. And because of that thing, because of that stress, because of those stripes, sometimes we don't always make the right choice. But that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to let us know that we don't have to stay in the same place that we've been. We don't have to stay in the same place that we've been going through, all the strife and the stress and the things that we go through. But I don't want to give any false premonitions that everything is going to be good, or that everything is going to be smooth sailing, or everything is going to be perfect. What the scripture has let us know is that salvation is available, but it is only available if we choose it. And if we choose it, that doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy and smooth sailing and all that. It only lets us know that salvation is through Christ, and that the only way through that door is through him. A lot of the times that we're told things with these televangelists and things on TV and things like that, that everything, if we do everything right, if we give all of our money and we do all this stuff, that everything is going to be okay and nothing's ever going to be wrong. That's not going to be the case with this particular situation. But we want to let you know, but through Jesus Christ is salvation, and salvation can only be through Jesus Christ. Not an easy road, not an easy life, but salvation. If you want to see heaven, Jesus is the only way. And then lastly, what we want to be thankful for is that his name reveals his power. How is that? The name is singular. It is not plural. So there is not any other salvation in any other name, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not anybody else. It's only in Jesus. His name displays all of the characteristics to let you know what he is. Jesus is an advocate. First John chapter 2 and verse number 1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate in the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The name lets us know he is our advocate, that he's here to fight for us, that he's here to stand in the gap, to let God know that there's somebody to make your case, to let God know that there's somebody standing in the way of sin, and that he's placed himself between sin and death and you. He is our advocate according to the scripture. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8 that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. The Bible lets us know that he is the beginning and he is the end. Everything started with him. Everything will end with him. There is going to come a day that judgment will be upon us all. And that day, Jesus is coming back for those who have served him, those who have obeyed him. He's going to be caught up in the air to be judged and to be taken with him back to glory. He is the end. So we have to know that because of that, he is the only one that has the power and the authority to save us all. The Bible also says he is the author of our eternal salvation. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9. After being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The Bible says that he is the beloved and only potentate. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, which is in his time, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the only one that has the authority and power to hold this title. He is the King of every king, and he is the Lord over every lord. That means everything in earth and on earth runs through him, is through him, and he is over them. The Bible lets us know that in John chapter 6 and verse number 32 that he is the bread of life. The Bible says that Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And what was that bread? That bread is Jesus Christ. Jesus told the devil that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus came to let us know that that word was real. The Bible, I already told you, said that the word was with God and the word was God. So we all know that the bread of life is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he is the chief shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The Bible lets us know again in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 20 that Christ is God. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, the Christ of God. He is the Messiah. He is the one that has come to save us all. The Bible says he is our deliverer. Romans chapter 11, verse number 26. And so all of Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He is the one that has come to deliver us from this sin-sick world. He is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And the Bible also lets us know that he is the great I am. John chapter 8 and verse number 58. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's a beautiful verse, because it lets us know that even in the beginning, before time, before we knew anything about ourselves, God was. And God is still here, and God is still standing in the gap waiting for you to make a decision. He is the great and morning star. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 16. The Bible says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches, that I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land. And we just have to make ourselves aware that this is our opportunity to choose to follow Christ. This is the opportunity that we have to stand in the gap and say no to sin, to change our life, to come back from the brink, the Bible lets us know that he is the truth. And he is the truth that shall set us free. Free from what? Free from being servant to sin. Understand this, people. You either serve God or you serve Satan, but you serve one of them. And the Bible says that we should give everything that we have, all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind to the service of the Lord. And that Lord is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given him all authority over me. And he is the one that gives us the hope and springs forth in our minds that this is the only way in which we can go. The Bible says that he, again, is the word of God. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 13. He clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He is here for us. He is the rose of Sharon. He was risen. He is the only one risen from the dead. He was nailed to a cross, bloodied and speared and beaten, spat upon. Everything that can happen to somebody that was not even deserving of such punishment, deserving of such treatment. He was driven up a hill of Calvary to be hung on a cross by his hands and by his feet, nailed to wood, placed in a hole amongst two thieves to be sacrificed so that we might have an opportunity again at salvation, placed in a borrowed tomb and risen on the third day. He has conquered death, and that lets us know that salvation cannot be in any other. He is the rock in a weary land. He belongs to us, and we belong to him, for we do not belong to ourselves. We were bought with a price, and some people waste this opportunity every day. I just hope everyone that is in the sound of my voice knows that this is an opportunity of a lifetime, and we cannot pass up such an opportunity that we give ourselves over to this life of sin that has consumed so many. The Bible lets us know again, as I conclude this lesson this evening, that there are five steps to salvation. This is why Christ died. This is why Christ took on such a sacrifice so that we might find soul salvation in him. The Bible lets us know that we must first hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by that word of God. And then the Bible says that you must believe. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible also says that you must repent. Not report, but repent. And repentance, true repentance, is a turning away from your sinful life and moving back into the light of Jesus Christ that you might be saved. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It's time to look at yourself. Look at yourself for real and see if you are in a place where you need to turn away from your sinful life. The Bible says that after you repent, you must confess the sweetest name ever spoken on mortal tongue. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath been risen from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and from his mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then the Bible continues to read that after you've heard and believed and repented and confessed, you must be baptized in a watery grave of baptism. And baptism is a full immersion of the body from head to toe, all the way under, and for the remission of your sins. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible also reads in John chapter 3 and verse number 5, Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The scripture lets us know that baptism and being born of the water and of the Spirit, one cannot see heaven. So when those say that baptism is not necessary, the scripture lets us know what the situation truly is. And then Mark 16:16 says that he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he who believeth not shall be condemned. And then after all of this, my fellow people that are on the phone, Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10 says that you have to remain faithful. So even after you have made a decision, even after you have become baptized, you cannot make a turn to go back to the world. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 says, be faithful until death, and I shall give you a crown of life. The Bible is specific. We owe our life, we owe our very being, we owe our very mind to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all that I'm asking right now is that somebody take this into serious consideration before it is everlasting too late. My name is Nathan Elder, and I thank you all for this opportunity to be able to share a gospel message with you this evening. May God bless you, and may he always keep you and never let you go. Amen.